This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Everybody, welcome back. I've been away for a week, so I'm feeling fresh and ready for today's show. We've got back-to-back guests. Very excited that we've got Rae Black on the show today. We had a really wonderful chat last week about her brand new project that she's just released. We'll talk a little bit about that later. Call Me Loop is in the studio in a minute. But first, I'm going to kick off the show with a bit of Little Mix in celebration of the fact that their album, LM5, is out tomorrow. They're also going to be releasing a video tomorrow for Strip, which is directed by Rankin, and it's all about real women, sort of inspirational. The screenshot and the clip that everyone's seen has got the girls slightly naked, but written all over them is sort of words like ugly, slutty, talentless, scrawled just strategically across their body. And I think it's just a kind of comment on cyberbullying and also people just discussing other people when they don't really have any right to. These girls have been through it a lot, I think. Specifically, being in a girl band, I think being a woman in general in the media's eye, leaves you a bit more open to people directing their comments about your appearance more than anything else. Irrelevant of talent, irrelevant of everything. And yeah, it's a really exciting video. I think I'm looking forward to seeing it. Chris Helenga, who we had on the show a while ago, who founded Copperfield, which is raising awareness for all women to test their boobs and make sure that they don't have any lumps, unusual things on there, which is something that's really important. And if you are worried about that, go and check out Copperfield because they've got instructions on how to check your boobs, because you should be doing that really, really regularly if you're a woman with boobs. And guys as well should be checking, because it happens to both men and women. It's a very important thing. But Chris, who's the wonderful inspiration behind that that whole company, is in the video along with loads of other inspiring and important people. So make sure you go and check that out. But let's kick off the show. They haven't released that song yet, so I can't play it. But Joan of Arc came out, dropped last week, because I've done that thing on Apple Music where you can pre-save the album. So every time a new song comes out, it just magically appears in my inbox. No. In my phone. This is Joan of Arc. LM5 drops tomorrow, plus the Rankin directed video for Strip. This is Little Mix kicking off the Harriet Rose show today on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, solo that your thighs get sore.
I don't need a man. If I'm loving you, it's cause I can.
Cause I can.
I don't want you, care. If I'm loving you, it's cause I can't.
Bar Radio, I'm joined by the wonderful Ray Black. Babe, you look wonderful.
Thank you.
You've had a busy few weeks. What a week you've had. The Empress Project is out.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a week now. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Oh my gosh, it has been a week. I didn't even realise.
Congratulations.
It's been a week.
Happy week anniversary.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you. It's been good. It's been a busy week.
I really think, because I've listened to the whole project and it's stunning, but also it's super revealing, very honest and empowering and powerful. I really felt like you gave a lot of yourself with this project. Mm. Did you feel that? Was it kind of natural, or do you feel like you gave a lot of yourself? Or
yeah, I feel like it was natural. I think only listening back do I realise that it's quite uncensored and open. But because in the studio I'm just writing about how I'm feeling that day and expressing myself, it didn't register that I was like exposing myself as an expose.
Does that feel strange? Because people are listening and people are at home. Because a lot of, as well, your content deals with some serious topics. It deals with things that people need to talk about. Mm-hmm. So it's creating conversations anyway. I mean, if we look at Run Run, even the video, it's such a powerful commentary on youth crime and things that people need to be paying attention to. Mm. Have you seen in the comments and the feedback that people are taking notice and they are, you know, giving you, you know, that kind of kudos of saying, you know, we need to talk about this. We need to be having that conversation.
Definitely, definitely. Especially, I don't spend too much time looking at comments, but the last time I checked on the YouTube comments, it was like that resounding message where everyone was like, love this, love what this is about. This needs to be spoken about more. Which is great. It means that my music is having some sort of impact.
And I really love the video for Mama. That was like beautiful. And it's you and your mum and set in a church. Mm-hmm. Is that your church?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not. But I just thought it was the whole video because it really represents you, who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. And I love the like at the end when you're singing to her and then you all have a little giggle and laugh. It just feels so authentic.
Yeah.
Was that deliberate or did it just happen sort of?
It definitely was deliberate, just the way we set it out. So my mum wasn't aware that she was like, the video was about her. She just thought she was coming to make a quick cameo. I just needed more people to fill up the video.
I love the way you probably approach like, mum, I just need like bodies in.
I was basically like, oh, I'm doing a music video and I just need more people in here. So get in here. I'm going to ask my sister to be in it as well. And mum was like, okay, cool, I'll be there. And then I don't think it clicked until, so basically we just started performing the song.
Yeah.
And then she was like, wait, there's cameras in my face. This is about me. This song is about me. It's my music video. It became her music video.
And then she was like, get that. Out the way.
Yeah. Did you see the part in the end where she starts going, mama, like trying to do riffs and stuff? I was like, okay, sis, you better go off.
I was here for it. I want your mum to do an album.
It's her video, boy.
Yeah, but that's really, that's so beautiful. Also, absolutely hilarious that she had no idea. And then she was like, stand aside.
Yeah, this is my moment. I've got this now.
That's so beautiful. How does she feel about everything that's happening for you? She must be so proud.
Yeah, very, very, very proud. Yeah, very proud. She always says it. Yeah.
Does she give you a lot of advice? Like, do you play her a song and she's like, no, that's rubbish, don't release it? Or is she like very supportive of everything?
She's super
you play
supportive,
her?
Yeah. She likes even, so my mum like is a pastor, so she doesn't really listen to secular music herself unless it's like Whitney Houston or Mary J. Blige. And she really supports my music, like even the ones about sex.
Even the naughty ones.
Even the naughty ones, she likes those, yeah.
I was going to say Empress, because obviously that's a super empowering song. Mm-hmm. I felt very empowered. I really love the video.
Good.
a few little celeb cameos in there, which mm-hmm. I like as well. But it's in itself, the message that you're giving, it kind of has that naughty element, because it's like, this is the people I've dated, and yeah. these are the sort of, to say it lightly, fuckboys that yeah, have been yeah. circulating around. Yeah. But the overriding message is never, never settle for less.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because the message is there. She yeah. can kind of yeah, forget the naughty
bit. Yeah,
she
can get with it. She can definitely get with it. Yeah, I think she hears the message in the music. My older stuff, like my mixtape, when we were on holiday together, she was playing the mixtape. I woke up to my mum listening to my music and singing along to it. And there's one that's like, it's very explicit. And she was singing along and vibing to it. And
oh,
I was like
yeah.
to my sister in the next room, like, oh my God, I can't believe she's listening to this song. Like, this song is about sex. She waltzes into the room and she's like, there's nothing you're doing that I haven't done before. I was like, oh my God.
So we're all learning new things.
There's nothing you're singing about I haven't done before. So it's fine.
Oh my God. Is your mum the kind of mum, does she have social media?
Yeah.
So does she like, because my mum creeps on my social media so hard and comments weird stuff.
Oh yeah, my mum's not creeping. She's out here letting everybody know, I'm here. I posted her picture for her birthday and then people were saying,
did you tag her
birthday?
In it as well?
No, I didn't tag her purposefully. Yeah. So people wouldn't start going and following her. And people are saying, oh, happy birthday. She starts replying to their comments. Thank you. Oh, much love. Yeah, like, replying to people, liking comments. I was like, this is too much.
She's going to have her own fan group soon.
Mate, she really is. She's going to have her own thing, Mama Ray.
She's going to have a hashtag, Mama Ray, literally. Tell her to get that hashtag going.
She's too much.
Does she sing? Is she a good singer?
No, she's terrible. She's terrible.
So no features in the future then?
No, none.
I thought you might be able to help me with something, because obviously Empress, it has to be my favourite song. It has to be mm-hmm. my favourite song on the project. Mm-hmm. So what I've done here is I've got together a few little scenarios that I want you to give your Empress perspective on. Because, okay. you know, people need...
What is it, like Agony Aunt?
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Empress instructions.
I'm the best at that.
I thought you'd be the best at that. So first, what we've got is a few scenarios that I just want you to judge whether it's a goer or a knower.
Okay.
Like, you can just get rid or you should keep trying with this
okay.
person, okay?
Okay.
So up first, we've got, he hangs out with you, but doesn't text you to follow up. And when you ask if you're still on to go out and hang out with each other, he says, sure, where shall I meet you? So it's like, he doesn't follow it up. He doesn't text you, but you okay. text him and he's like, okay, cool, yeah, let's meet up. What do you think? What's the Empress opinion? Do we think give it a go or just see him later if he's not?
I think give it a go, you know. Give it a go. Some guys, some guys are like, they're not emotional or they're not like... as forward. Some guys are more chilled and like, oh, there's no rush. I'll see her whenever I see her.
No.
But they really like you.
Okay.
They really
okay.
like you. They're just not in a rush. Like,
see, I'm rubbish at this. Like, this is why I need you.
Yeah, no. So I would say give it a go. If he's saying yeah to meeting up and if he's not making excuses and you enjoy each other's company when you hang out, then go for it.
Okay, okay, yeah. okay. Up
he's
next.
Feeling it.
He does loads of PDA to show you off to his friends. Like, yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry. So I'm guessing that's a knower then.
He does loads of, and
like,
it's
like, oh,
and it's to show you off to his friends.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
when it's just you two.
You're not
out
even holding hands when it's you're on your own.
What?
Yeah.
Nah. Dump him.
Nah,
he's doing too much.
Okay, too much. Okay. He makes fun of you and teases you, but not in a not in front of his friends, but in normal
private. One-on-one.
Yeah, he does it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, if you're cool with that, I personally don't like that. How much teasing are we talking?
Like, all the time, constantly. But it's like...
Is it cute teasing? Is it like, you laugh and you snort and he's like, oh, there goes your snort again? Or is it like, you've put on a few pounds and he's like, hey, fatty boom boom?
Listen, I would push him onto the floor if any man said that to me.
Because the latter is not on, yo.
No.
It's not.
But there's a sliding scale, isn't there? Because it can go, it starts with the little bits and then suddenly it's, oh, hey, bitch, stop eating those pies. And I'm like, hold on, I want five pies. I want five pies.
It depends. Yeah, there's a scale. If we're on the scale of like, oh, he's laughing at you snorting, that's cool. If he's making fun of your like spotty breakout or your weight gain, it's not on.
He needs to be pushed on
the
floor.
He needs to go.
Okay, he's gone. Final one. this is an interesting one. When you flirt with other guys, he's totally unfazed. Doesn't bother him at all. What does that mean to you?
I don't know. That can mean two things. He can either be really, really secure, which is a good thing. Yeah. I love a guy who is secure and confident, and he's just like, well, they haven't got anything on me, so
yes,
what's the point? Or he might not be that into you. He's up for sharing. So I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know for that one. Ooh. I'm going to say keep
Let's
him.
Hope he's secure. Let's hope he's secure yeah. and not sleeping around.
Yeah.
We can't assume all of them are sleeping around, can we?
No, we can't.
Well, thank you so much. They were really, really helpful tips.
I've got you.
Before we go, I've got a few scenarios now that you've got to judge. These are actual things that have happened, okay?
Oh, my gosh. To your friend. You're asking for a friend.
Asking for a friend. Right. My date let me out of the car to wait on the curb while she parallel parked. After three attempts, she drove off and left us. And they walked home on their own. What is your Empress view
what
of that?
What the hell? Wait, are they okay? Wait, because they couldn't park, they just drove off.
They're gone. They literally went,
no.
Gear two, let's see you later, mate.
I left you in the street.
So as an empress, what would you tell that person to kind of get them over that?
Yo, like, don't talk to that person ever again. How can they leave you in the street? Wow. No, block and delete.
Block and delete.
Block and delete.
Okay, ready? Went to a guy's place so he could cook for me. As he was chopping vegetables, a cockroach scurried across the kitchen floor and he calmly asked me to step on it. So, okay, you're in a guy's house and he's cooking for you and he says, oh, can you just step on that cockroach? Would you get out of there?
No, I would step on the cockroach.
She doesn't care.
I would step on the cockroach.
Because, like, an empress can deal with
cockroaches. We're not talking about a rat. He's not saying, will you catch that rat for me?
Well, I wouldn't try stepping on a rat at any point.
Babe, do you think you could just catch that rat running around my house?
That's dangerous. You might get the plague.
I'm leaving, B. Why have you got rats?
But we're okay with cockroaches.
Yeah. What, do they live in New York or something? Because they've got a roach problem.
Yeah. I think it must be an American person.
Yeah. Then totally understandable.
Okay, here's one. This is for you now. This is you were in the date. But okay. This has happened to someone.
Okay.
You take a guy to the movies. To the movies.
I take a guy to the movies.
Well, you go to...
Sorry.
Well, the scenario is... Right, I'll read it to you and then you can tell me what you would have done in that situation. One time I took a girl to the movies. During the movie, she kept looking at the person behind her. Turns out it was her dad sitting behind us the entire time.
Oh, my God.
I can imagine Mama Ray maybe has been on a couple of dates with you.
No.
Sitting three rows back.
No. What?
There's nothing.
Who are these people?
There's nothing you've done that she hasn't, babe. So.
Oh my God. What?
So would you get up and get out of that cinema even if you were enjoying the film?
No, but I would be like, if she's like, oh, that's my dad, then I'd start chatting to her dad and being like, or his dad, let's say, like, hey, you good? Like, come sit next to us then. Like, why are you sitting behind us? That's a bit weird.
And can you buy us some stuff?
Like, buy us some stuff.
Take us to Nando's, take us for dinner.
Yeah,
like,
join us. Yeah.
Let's go Pizza Express. Date.
Yeah, I'm part of the family now. Yeah.
Okay, final one. You ready? I went on a date with a guy I met at a party.
Yeah.
He took me to a wedding reception. His parents were there and his mum told me, you're much prettier than his girlfriend.
Oh.
So, Empress opinion. What are the Empress instructions for this girl?
Sorry. What's funny is I've been in a similar situation.
No! Tell me everything.
This guy... He said to prove he's serious about me, because I wasn't into him like that, because I thought he was about.
Yeah.
He invited me to his niece's birthday party, first birthday.
Oh, my God.
All of his family were there, and he was like, I want to introduce you to my family so you can see that, you know, this is serious. Anyway, introduces me to his family, and during the night, his sister's like, oh, have you met his girlfriend, by the way? And I was like, pardon?
Pardon?
Beg your pardon? And then introduces me to his girlfriend while I'm like, hi, nice to meet you.
No.
Yeah.
She was there.
She was there. This is how mad guys can be, you know. You've invited your second soon-to-be girlfriend to meet your family and your girlfriend.
You've blown my mind.
Yeah, I left immediately. I left. I didn't stay there for one more second. I left immediately.
This is why you're an empress. Thank you for all you do for us.
So funny.
You are wonderful, Ray. Thank you so much for taking the time out to chat with us.
Thank you.
I'm really excited for everything that's going to happen in the future for you. And congrats on the tour that you just came back with
Thank
as well.
You.
Hopefully you get some sleep in a minute.
Yes, this weekend.
But the Empress Project is out. Everyone needs to go and get it. Available on all of your platforms that you buy stuff from. And remember these top tips from the lady herself about how
Don't
to
forget.
Stay an empress.
Yes.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I met this guy named Michael, had a motorcycle, thought that he was cool, he always quoted from the Bible, but he had a baby mama, who was a prima donna, had to let him go cause I ain't really with the drama. I was feeling Keith with the gold teeth, but he was a thug and always running from police. He was always trying to get me in the sheets, wasn't good enough for me. Settle for less, cause I'm an empress. I need the best, not the runner-up, cause that's what I deserve. I don't want to settle for less, cause I'm an empress. Got to big up my chest, even if it hurts, when a woman knows her worth. So I started seeing Jamie, he acted like a baby, always playing video games and being lazy, smoked too much marijuana, stuck in his pajamas, always dropping wisdom like he was the Dalai Lama, was talking to Tim, he couldn't let me in, said he got burned and now he doesn't trust women, I can't pay for somebody else's sin, gotta find another man. Settle for less, cause I'm an empress. I need the best, not the runner-up, cause that's what I deserve. I don't want to settle for less, cause I'm an empress. Got to big up my chest, even if it hurts, when a woman knows her worth. What I deserve. I don't want to settle for less, cause I'm an empress. Got to big up my chest, even if it hurts, when a woman knows her worth. I don't want to settle for less, cause I'm an empress. I need the best, not the runner-up, cause that's what I deserve. When I'm an empress, got to big up my chest, even if it hurts, when a woman knows her worth.
Wonderful Ray Black, thank you so much to her for having a chat with us. You can go and stream and buy Empress now, her latest release. It's very, very good, very enjoyable, lots of different kinds of tracks on there, telling lots of different kinds of stories, and she's just a very lyrically intelligent writer, so I think if you like intelligent stuff and good music, you're gonna love it. Now, we've had some breaking news here in the studio, something that I've we've thought was going to happen for a while, but now it's been confirmed. Stormzy will be the first confirmed headliner of Glastonbury Festival 2019. Obviously, we've had a year off. It's been a long wait to this, to the next year's festival, but he is going to be the first Glastonbury headliner to be revealed. I'm so excited. And I'm excited to see what people say. All I've seen on Instagram and stuff, Twitter, has been very positive. But I think he's going to rock it. If you've ever seen Stormzy live, his performance energy and vibe is second to none. He's incredible. So I thought, let's celebrate. I'm going to find some Stormzy that we can play now. And we can have a little dance. Is it on the system, Stormzy? I'm just going to find it while I'm chatting to you. But basically, the other people that are being told that we might get is Madonna. Because I think Madonna, I've got it. Madonna is actually a very complimentary headliner alongside Stormzy, because, you know, different vibes, different eras. But I think that's what you've got to have. The problem is when it's like three really similar artists, it's really boring. Number one, I hope it's not an art. I hope there's no artists that have done it already before, because that's really going to upset me. The rumours are Paul McCartney. I feel like fine about that. I'd be happy, but I'd be more excited if it was Madonna. And Kylie Minogue's also in the running for performing. So I don't know. Also, I would die and go to heaven if Rihanna was the other headliner. Rihanna would be, imagine that, and then they could cross. Perhaps they could perform on each other's stage. Rihanna, Madonna, Stormzy, that's the dream headliner for me. Let's celebrate. Congratulations to Stormzy. Really excited to see what he brings. He played the other stage in Glastonbury in the last Glastonbury in 2017, and he smashed it. He was incredible. I've seen him a few times, and the energy's next level. This is Big For Your Boots.
You're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size toes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Kick up the U. Man, know that I kick up the U. Them boy there try to suck the truth. How dare you to suck the truth? Look, you're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size toes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Kick up the U. Man, know that I kick up the U. Them boy there try to suck the truth. How dare you to suck the truth? Wanna come round here like a bad boy, do it. Run all the talking, go on and do it. Running through the party, bottle of Bacardi, bows in my ear saying, Storm, don't do it. Devil on my shoulder, I don't lack. Hit him with a crowbar, I don't scrap. Even when I'm sober, I'm so gassy, right? But there's no car and no match.
What are you talking about?
Clown, stand down. Never had a Mac 10 or a Trey Pound. You were never bad then, you ain't bad now. Never had a Mac then, little nigga, back down. Wait, I saw bear kicks, saw bear clothes. Said, fuck that, I can't wear those. I don't like them, they're not my thing. They went silent, they're all weirdos. Like, yeah, Storm's gone clear. Never had a Tom Ford or a Moncler. Man, them are calm, but you see my don there. Fuck Crease, tell them don't do it, don't dare. Don't care who you know from my block. You're not Al Capone, you get boxed. They can take my car and my creps. I'll still do the road in my socks. Like, who's gonna stop me? You, him, weed and a cigarette. Blue, Slims, don't be an idiot. Move smart, I've been killing it. New king, niggas ain't ready for my new stuff. You're a prick by yourself, go and group up. And when Crep went states for the BTs, I was covering Crep like a boot cut. If mad, it's a family thing, straight family thing. Dumb man, I broke no salary thing. Had a painting called Amy, telling me to come round hers on a Valerie thing. Hashtag Murky Academy thing. Coming like art in the gallery thing. Dumb boy there, wanna chat about bars, wanna chat about crud, but. You're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size toes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Kick up the U. Man, know that I kick up the U. Them boy there try to suck the truth. How dare you to suck the truth? Look, I'm too hot. Drug money in my shoebox. I'm the man of the house with my show sold out like the brother from the Boondocks. Boots on my boombox. Still meat from the stew pot. Man, I'm go sick with my tune drops. Little man, that's a who blow, not a who blow. What? Pronounce it right, you prick. I go magic, I'm down to die for this. I don't care, bro, I'm down to pipe your chick. Mad stress, so I'm bound to light my spliff. Wait, I'm bound to ride for flips. Real G's gonna ride around to this. Man, I got no time to write at this. I never left my 9 to 5 for this waste, man, thing. I don't care what rave man's in. I came here to relax, but if it gets mad, make a young boy take man's things. Try to tell me I'm way too big to rebel. Nah, man, you're never too big to rebel.
I was in the O2 singing my lungs out, Rude Boy, you're never too big for Adele. Leave my yard, blow a kiss to my girl. Salute to my sister as well. Gotta keep trophies down at my mum's bit. Man, I'm getting way too big for my shelf. Man, I see bare MCs on the sideline, but I still got a couple bangs in the pipeline. Man, I got grown men at me, bullshit. You're getting way too old for the timeline. You're getting way too old for this. Should've looked after your kids. Get out the booth, go home to your son. It's never too late to commit. It's like, man, love, put my name in the bar. Random flag, get a plane to Qatar. This year I learned how to take care of business. Next year I learned how to play the guitar. You're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size toes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Kick up the U. Man, know that I kick up the U. Them boy there try to twist up the truth. How dare you twist up the truth? Look, you're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size toes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Kick up the U. Man, know that I kick up the U. Them boy there try to twist up the truth. How dare you twist up the truth?
Stormzy, first headliner announced of Glastonbury. Call Me Loops in the studio.
Hello.
Hi.
I didn't know that news.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, that's so nice that you were just so surprised about that. Yes, he's just been announced. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
Amazing.
That's why we slipped a little big for your boots in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, he's the first announcement of the whole of Glastonbury.
Whoa.
Which I think is really exciting because he's like a very... fledgling artist. He's like one of the most fledgling artists to headline.
Yeah.
Because he's so, it's so new, but he's so huge, obviously. But he's still very new artist. He's only had one album.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, to headline at that level, that can't
be. Must mean he's dropping an album in the next, like, I would say in the next month.
Yeah.
Definitely, 100%. And he'll do it like a Kanye West, Beyonce type. I think he'll just drop it. I don't think there'll be any promo. Which I think when you get to that point, as young as he is, to be able to be just drop music and people will listen to it is pretty nuts. But I'm excited to see what the next thing, because he doesn't use social media or anything anymore, really.
Does he not?
No, I think he deleted Twitter. I don't know if he's got it back yet because people were being too aggressive and horrible. I think people are just, even if you're like the nicest person.
Online.
Yeah, I think even if you're the best person on earth, I think Mother Teresa would struggle on Twitter.
I was going to say, who could be hating on Stormzy? I don't.
Yeah, apparently people do. So fuck them.
Yeah.
How
them.
Are you?
I was about to say, I can't remember if I can swear on here, but obviously
you
can. Woohoo!
There you go.
Otherwise, I get stressed because I just don't know what I'm going to say.
Yes, that's it's good. Very scary.
The more you're not allowed to swear, the more you want to. It's that kind of Tourette's kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I used to get that at school in assembly. I just suddenly, it would pop into my head and be like, wow, I could just stand up right now and just scream, fuck.
And did you?
Well, no, never, but it took a lot. And
bet
then
you
couldn't
that.
Concentrate for the next 20 minutes on whatever you were supposed to be listening to.
Well, no one concentrates in an assembly, do they?
No, maybe
it's just
not.
Mostly like fire instructions and boring shit like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, talk about you, not about assemblies. Cut and Run, your brand new single.
Yes.
Video just dropped.
Yeah.
And your loads of exciting stuff going on for you. But let's talk about Cut and Run first. It's all about sort of being yourself and staying true to you. And you're telling three different dating stories in theory.
Yeah. So basically the song itself is about just my story.
Yeah.
It was, kind of like a revenge story, essentially.
And
like,
is it about one person or is it about various? Okay.
No, it's about one very particular time. This time last year, really. And it was a very short relationship, but it just ended really quickly. And I was a bit like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Just and a guy that just obviously I heard afterwards, he just did this was his way. And I was like, whatever. And then kind of didn't hear from him. And then suddenly a few months later when
things were going well.
Yeah, he was just like, hey, just wanted to say like, wow, things look like they're going really well. Like, congrats. And I just obviously didn't reply.
Good girl.
But that prompted the kind of like... Yeah, so that's what that song's
well,
about.
Well, thank you to him.
Yeah, exactly. But then, yeah, for the video, we were like, oh, we could... First thought was like, okay, let's go down the standard, like, do a little cutesy revenge video. But then, actually, me and the director, Misha, talked about it, and we thought it would be better to kind of tell a few different stories.
I think it is. It's more... it's a bit deeper
There's
to do
a bit
that.
More to it. Like, goes a bit further than, you know, just hitting the surface. And yeah, it's like, rather than focusing on revenge, which is maybe not also the best thing to promote, you know, take the high road.
Yeah, fucking kill them all. No, yeah, you're right. Revenge is not the one.
But the other stories of basically it's being like, it's not, you know, when you get broken up with, it's the default thing is like, why, what have I done? Like, mm-hmm. it's me, and you feel like shit and you're like, oh, I'm not good enough. So it's kind of the thing of a lot of the time, actually, it's because they're in the wrong, they're dumb, they can't see what they've got, or it's not meant to be, or, you know, they don't want you as you are, and you're not supposed to change for somebody. So that was kind of, every story had that kind of running through it.
And I liked it because I think by telling three stories, you're guaranteed to be linking to different people.
Yeah, hopefully relating, like everybody can relate to one or the other.
Yeah, I definitely think it was interesting because I think the kind of, was it brother and sister vibe of like,
yeah,
that I was like, because that's really quite true to life and quite sweet because it's like, yeah, your brother is one of those guys that is out there most of the time, you know, dating themselves. And when they have a sister, it does change.
Yeah, it kind of brings it into, I think. And I have an older brother and he was very protective when I was younger. And he now, you know, is still like, I love him to death and he's very protective. Mm. And yeah, if anything, if there's ever anything like that in my life, he's always there for me and he's like, fuck them, you know.
Yeah, because they know really what men are maybe thinking more so than you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So tell me about you've got a headline show coming up at Camden Assembly this Friday.
Tomorrow, yeah.
I always forget Fridays after Thursday.
I know. Well,
tough one.
This week's been a weird one. Like, yeah, I kind of forget that it's tomorrow. But yeah, I'm really, really excited.
Big time. Like, Camden Assembly is such a great venue as well.
I've actually not been.
Ever?
No, I don't think so. Actually, no, because it used to be Barfly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, unless I've got my facts wrong.
No, I think you're right. I don't know. I'm rubbish at that kind of thing.
I think it used to be Barfly, in which case I did go like a couple years ago. And it's cool. It's quite intimate, so yeah, it'll be nice. And I think we've very nearly sold out, which is exciting. So it's going to be nice and cozy.
And you've got Folly Rae, yeah, who's been on the show. She's a babe.
Yeah, I've not met her yet, but I'm so excited.
Oh, she's lovely, jubbly. Yeah. Really nice person.
I'm really big fan of her music.
And her videos are next level.
That's it,
like,
right?
Really good.
Yeah, her EP is just like, the whole aesthetic for it is really cool.
And then Abisha, who, yes, I've not come across her yet, so I'm really excited to,
also
like,
also amazing, really young, fantastic, and again, I've not met her yet, but the music is sick, so I think it's going to be a really nice, strong female lineup.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You've hinted about an EP as well. What's going, yeah, on there?
Well, so
what can you tell us?
So I've actually got another single coming out next Friday.
Oh wow, great.
Yeah, so quite soon after Cut and Run. So this one's called Business. And
are you going to play it on Friday?
Yeah,
so anyone going to the gig will hear.
They will. It's be the first time that we've played it live.
Wow. Business, it's called.
Business, yeah.
Love that name.
And it's kind of, it's a bit of a different side to me. It's a bit slower, a little bit sadder, still a bit sassy, but like sad sassy instead of.
I like that because I didn't expect you to say that when you said business. I thought you were going to be like, it's a song about,
well, this is the
accounting
thing.
And my, well, tax return.
I thought when I was like, the title of Business, I was like, I think it sounds like a Nicki Minaj song or something, you know, like where it's going to be like, yeah, business. Yeah. It's not like that. It's like, I wrote it when I was sad about my ex moving on, essentially, and it's like when I was stalking him constantly on,
yes,
Instagram.
That is a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just like, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm not gaining anything from it. Yeah, but I'm just not that person. You know, there are two types of people. People who can block.
I don't unfollow. I can't.
Yeah, and people who keep tabs. I'm a keeper tabber.
So what you should do, a little bit of advice, they've now changed the Instagram settings. You can hide people.
Okay.
And literally, if you hide someone and then you forget that you've hidden them, you don't ever see them, so you never reminded.
No, which is good, but I would remember.
No, you don't, though, because I've hidden some peeps, right?
And then you forget.
For various reasons. Yeah. Not for love, because I'm not in that vibe.
Yeah.
But I'm not dating, but the if you want to hide someone because you think, oh, the energy is not there, then, yeah, it's a bit negative, yeah, or whatever, and you just forget that they, yeah, were on your friends list, and, yeah, it's joyful.
No, yeah, probably. I mean, I did block for a while.
Good, good.
But then I...
Did they know you'd blocked?
They must do, because then your page doesn't come up.
Oh my God, that's so intense. I love,
right?
It.
I was like, oh God. It was a bit of a way out moment, but yeah, I did.
And no, then, I like it. It's really extra and I enjoy
then
that.
Then when I thought... Thanks. Then when I thought I was okay in a better headspace, because I had my own person to distract me, I unblocked and then it was okay. But it's just, it's weird. Like, I'm even dreaming about the ex now, even though, like, I'm... It's, you know,
it's done
so, and totally happy for them. But yeah, it was at that point, this was like maybe March that I wrote it, I was in a bit of a
I'm so sorry, I just sneezed, everyone. That was intense because you were bringing so many emotions to me that I sneezed.
But yeah, so that's what the song's about.
And a lot of your songs are love based.
Yeah, I know, I need to work on trying to branch out a bit.
No, I more meant, I just feel bad that there's been so much fuckery around love for you.
Yeah.
But I mean, really great. Also,
I know, it's good for writing. And yeah, I'm kind of, this is the problem I face. Like, when I'm happy with someone, I'm like, this is great, but my career is gonna go down the shitter.
So listen, fuck boys, apply within.
Yeah.
Loop is interested and ready.
I need some lyrical content, yes. Please.
But it's important, you know, Taylor Swift's written about 150 albums on a breakup, yeah. So it's a lucrative business, breaking up with people.
I mean, Adele, yeah, the breakup album.
Literally the best songs, best breakup songs of all time have been written by people that really are truly heartbroken and have had a horrible time.
Yeah.
Imagine being the guy in like that Adele has written about. Like, literally everyone's just like, you're a dick, mate. And he's like, fuck. But no one really knows, do they, who they are? Like, there's vague stories, but...
Yeah, I feel like there's some people would actually, like, kind of take pride in that and be like, that's about me.
Oh, my God. And you wouldn't want them to. No, it's not.
I know, that's part of it. Like, I wrote a few... There's a couple of songs... like about this one person Cut and Runs about, and I'm like, God, it literally was so brief, you do not deserve this airtime.
I know, but that's the funny thing is that sometimes those like passion relationships are the ones that you end up having
feels
things
so much so quickly, and then it's poof, it's like it was a dream. But I didn't answer your question. EP
yes. Tell me, so, stop diverting.
Sorry, so Business is coming out next week, and then there'll be a January single.
Great.
And then there'll be an EP in like I reckon March, which will be
the three songs.
Not Cut and Run. That won't actually be on it. It'll be Business, January single, and three others.
Okay, so the Cut and Run is kind of the end of one section, and then the new release next week is going to be a new start. Exciting.
Yeah.
And you're hoping to do some more gigs next year as well?
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's quite exciting. Sure. Like, it's quite a big deal to do a headliner.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I mean, I did one in January. That was my first one, and that was amazing.
And how did it feel?
One of the best nights of
my life. Yeah. Honestly. Where was that?
That was at Thousand Islands. Above the Verge. Yeah, and that one was sold out in December, I think, which was awesome because it was my first one. And then, it was just so much fun. But yeah, tomorrow night we've got the band set up. It's slightly different. We've got a guitarist on board now, and it just makes that much of a difference. It's so nice. And we'll be doing Business, and we'll be doing three other ones that are going to be on the EP that have never been played before. So
some exclusive content.
Yeah,
I like it. Well, good luck tomorrow. It sounds like it's going to be a great night. I thought while you're here, I'll play a little game with you.
Yay.
It's called just simply the loop game.
Okay.
And what I've done is I've found some songs and I've looped them, but I've not been friendly about it. I've looped them with some weird changes to what they are. So these are fair, you know, you will know every single one of these songs. Okay. None of them are like, it's not like niche, like, you know, opera or anything that you won't have heard of. This is pop.
Okay.
And R&B.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is play them to you. They're looped, but they are like mishmashed, so it's not going to be easy.
Okay.
And your aim in the game is to show how much you can tell a loop. A loop can tell a loop with this game. And the first one,
How much loop can a loop
exactly. Right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Come on, you got to get that. That's the easiest one.
So there was two in there?
No, it's one song.
Oh, yeah. Dust yourself up and try again.
But what? Who is it by?
Play again. First you don't succeed.
You old school.
Fuck.
90s. She's no longer with us. She's no longer with us. Yes.
Aaliyah.
Yes. Try again. Correct. Okay, up next.
Kiki,
yeah, Drake, In My Feelings. Yes. Well done. Okay, we've got two more. Ready? That's hard. That's hard. I'll play it again. Ready?
Once more. Oh, I have no idea.
It's Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling. Tonight's gonna be a good night. So he's saying tonight over and over again.
Okay,
final one.
I heard tonight, but I did not pick that up.
If you don't get this point, you lose.
Okay.
Because you've got two out of three at the moment. Okay. You need to have three out of four. Okay. Ready?
Boy.
Ah! You know what it is.
The minute the first bit, I was like,
boy.
It's confusing because of the loop. The loop has confused it. Because that is one of the most iconic pop songs of forever in our generation.
Okay, go again.
It's not that old.
Boy,
but actually, it probably is quite old. Okay, it's a she.
Mm-hmm.
She is not released a song in a long time, but she's one of the most iconic pop artists ever. 2009 it came out.
God, I
Who is the most iconic pop star in pop music that's not Britney Spears?
Well, for me, Christina Aguilera.
Okay, but younger than that.
Miley Cyrus.
She's like, no, older than that. Okay, 5 seconds. No, you're not going to get it. I'll play it one more time.
Oh my God, I know it.
It's Rihanna, Rude Boy.
Oh, no.
Is that not what you thought? No. Oh, that's good then. So you just didn't know at all. You
I just had
loop.
Not a clue.
No, you got 2 out of 4, which is actually quite good. So I'll give you a half win, a 50% win. Mm. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Looping with me, because I would never have got those. I only after I knew what they were, I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
I know, yeah. Even now, I'm like, really, Rude Boy? I think that was yeah. Bye.
Yeah, very, very, very difficult game. Difficult game. Too hard, if anything. Can you introduce Cut and Run for us?
Yes, of course. Hello, this is Call Me Loop on Fubar Radio. Whoop. This is Cut and Run.
Remember, everybody, gig tomorrow night if you're around Camden Assembly. It's very nearly sold out. So you're saying that you want me, baby, that you want me, baby, later. Don't you think that I learned my lesson from the time you dropped me out? But maybe I said that I want you, baby, that I want you, baby, later. I'm playing a little game of my own just to get my own back. Yeah, it's time to show you what you walked out on, time to get inside your head. So pick up your jacket, honey, fix up, look sharp. It's my turn to mess you up. I'll cross my heart and hope to die that you're the only one. I'll build your hopes up just to watch them come tumbling down. I love you then, I love you now. Did I commit? Oops, I forgot. I'll cross my heart. Baby, call me up and try it on. Like the last time that you spoke to me, you didn't have me, so I'm done. I'll admit you really hurt me, baby, really hurt me. It wasn't fun, no. But now I'm getting pretty good at this game, and I won't stop till I won. So pick up your jacket, honey, fix up, look sharp. It's my turn to mess you up. I'll cross my heart and hope to die that you're the only one. I'll build your hopes up just to watch them come tumbling down. I love you then, I love you now. Did I commit? Oops, I forgot. I'll cross my heart and hope to die before I cut and run. I'll cross my heart and hope to die before I cut and run. How predictable. That you should get in touch just as soon as you see me blowing up. Yeah, I'm doing well and you want a piece, but honey, can't you see I'm over this? You're how predictable. You're so predictable. Across my heart and hope to die that you're the only one. I'll build your hopes up just to watch them come tumbling down. Certified banger. Call Me Loop. Thank you so much to her for coming into the studio and playing my ridiculous game. Really love, that's my favourite of all of her songs. She's always released bangers, but that is really a next level. I'm really excited for her. That's very good. Also, EP coming up for her next year, so keep an eye out for that. And she's doing her second headline gig tomorrow night at Camden Assembly. So if you're a bat, go and check it out. Hayley Kiyoko, otherwise known as Lesbian Jesus, is going to be coming to the UK. Haven't played her, actually, very recently, because this song was actually released a little while ago, and it's featuring Kalani. Debut album's out now, Expectations. You can go and check that out. This track's called What I Need. She won Best Push Artist at 2018 MTV Video Music Awards in New York. And she dedicated it to queer women of colour everywhere. And I she does a lot for queer women. And a lot of her videos have very strong storylines that cover queer stories. But they're very cinematic. And they're very interesting. They're like small films. And she's very heavily involved in the production and the direction of them. So if you're a fan of her music, but you haven't checked many of her videos out, do go and just have a watch. And if you've never heard of her before, she's an absolutely incredible artist. And she will be hitting the UK next year. She's going to be in Dublin in end of January, then February in Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester and London at the O2 Forum, Kentish Town. She's basically one of those artists that is massive in America. As I say, she's known as the lesbian Jesus in America, but she's recently in the last year sort of been, I mean, she's always had a huge fan base in the UK, but now she's getting a real big fan base in the UK. People like King Princess talk about her a lot. This is What I Need. It's featuring Kehlani, who's another really great artist who addresses queer issues in her music. I think it's a really important time to do that. I'm always championing artists that are talking about queer issues. And I think it's also really important that she is talking about queer women of colour as well, because it's a subject that needs to be in the media more, also portrayed more. And a great way to do that is getting it in music videos, because it's so accessible, especially to people of all different ages and also different fans of music. Because if it's trending, I watch a lot of trending stuff that I maybe wouldn't watch if I didn't see it on the trending list. It's a good way to kind of get messages out there and make people learn a bit more about different lifestyles, I guess, and the queer lifestyle. So Hayley Kiyoko featuring Kehlani, this is What I Need. More guests in the studio very, very soon, guys, so keep locked.
All the back and forth getting complicated, running me around got me frustrated. No, that's why I've been laying low. If you want to make it work, baby, gotta say it. Need a little more than participation, or I could go be on my own. So I would kiss you, I lay with you, you broke. No, I can't fix you, I won't. No, won't diss you, but babe, yeah, might miss you. If you're cold and needed shelter, I'd hold you, but not switching. No, we're not together, but babe, I won't forget you. What I need, what I need, what I need is for you to be sure, no, no, no. For you to be sure, no, no, no. For you to be sure, no, no, no. What I need, what I need, what I need is to tell me that it shows, no, no, no. And who you do it for, no, no, no. For you to be sure, no, 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 no. On the low, I only want to grow when you're afraid to love me. Not a metaphor of what we really could be. I am putting on a show. So I would kiss you, I lay with you, you broke. No, I can't fix you, I won't. No, won't diss you, but babe, yeah, might miss you. If you're cold and needed shelter, I'd hold you, but I'm switching. No, we're not together, but babe, won't forget ya. What I need, what I need, what I need is for you to be sure, no, no, no. For you to be sure, no, no, no. For you to be sure, no, no, no. What I need, what I need, what I need is to tell me that it shows, no, no, no. And who you do it for, no, no, no. For you to be sure, no, no, no. No running away, no. Real loving is sure. The way that I love is not taking my place. Staring at you right in your face, no. Don't look away no more. I would kiss you, I live with you, you're broke. No, I can't fix you, I won't. No, I won't diss you, but babe, yeah, I might miss you. If you call and needed shelter, I'd hold you, but not switching, no. We're together, but baby,
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggan.
I am joined by some incredible drag queens from Denim.
We love the idea of queer Trojan horse. How can you smuggle politics to people who are not willing to receive them? And then they're receiving them and enjoying it. And they go, oh, I do have a part in this. We can bring over audiences through a pop aesthetic. Then once the audience are in the room and we've given them the covers that they were expecting, pull the rug from under their feet and get them to sing along to a song about fisting until they didn't realise it was about fisting.
Every Wednesday. From 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
We are back on FUBAR Radio, and I'm very excited to have Lidmore on the line. Hello, babe. How are you?
I'm very good.
You're on your first day off, aren't you, in Copenhagen right now?
Yes. I have just eaten pancakes with ice cream for an early dinner. Yeah.
That is a really good day you're having right there.
Yeah, exactly. I've played like a little bit of PlayStation and stuff. I'm really just like sucking up my day off.
Oh my God, you're having literally, that's the most, number one, I love how honest and brilliant that day off is, because it's like just play a bit of PlayStation, have some pancakes, give yourself some actual time off. I mean, you're still working because you're here chatting to me, but because you're currently on your European tour right now, but this is your first day off in a little while, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I started out in Asia last week. So I did Beijing, Shanghai and Hong Kong.
Wow.
And I flew home and almost directly went to Stockholm and Malmö. And then I do Copenhagen tomorrow.
Oh, are you excited for Copenhagen? Because that's home for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's home right now for me. So
it's really nice. Yeah,
like,
is that a nice kind of vibe to be at home, you know?
Yeah, it's really nice. Also, like, my boyfriend, who also plays in a band, he's not home because we live in an apartment together. And it's kind of nice to be home alone, because then you can kind of get to be exactly like a slobby and day off, pyjamas, you know, eating ice cream for dinner.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous. I can't tell you. It sounds absolutely wonderful.
It is really nice.
So tell me a little bit, because you spent some time in Shanghai, which was the main inspiration behind your new solo album. I told you I'd tell them our story. And it's actually also your am I right in thinking it's your first solo international release?
Yeah, it's super exciting. It's crazy to be able to release something in so many countries at the same time.
Yeah.
It feels like you're in the middle of a hurricane.
And what can you tell us about your experiences when you were in Shanghai? What inspired you so much about that country to write this piece of music?
Well, I was kind of like going through a crisis in my life, which is why I moved to Shanghai.
Yeah.
I had this like need for finding something different and for doing something crazy. You know, when sometimes in life you're like, something is stuck and I don't know what to do with myself and I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I guess for me, that was just like the only opportunity I could see to kind of make a very radical change, to move to China and live in Shanghai.
Yeah.
And it was exactly as inspiring as I had hoped.
Amazing. Well, it's kind of a leap into the darkness, isn't it? Like you didn't know that it was going to work out.
No. It was kind of like a mixture of an act of desperacy and an act of adventure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just like flung myself into it and then crossed my fingers and hoped for the best.
And we ended up getting a brilliant album out of it, so it obviously went well.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was an intense time. I experienced so many things. Shanghai is a weird place.
Really?
Sometimes I feel like in many ways it is more real than any other place on earth. And at the same time, it feels like it doesn't really exist. Like, it's like this surreal David Lynch universe where it feels like everything can happen.
Oh my God, I've never been. You're making me really want to go now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to recommend as many people as possible to go. I'm kind of hoping, because my album has a lot of references to specific places and specific people and specific events that took place in Shanghai. And I'm hoping that someone will go there and then use my album like a treasure map.
Oh, yeah.
And then find all these cool things in Shanghai.
Oh, my God, I'm going to do that.
Amazing.
I'm
going to
go. Did you, when you came back from Shanghai and you completed the album and you put it out, did you find that your performance style or the way you like held yourself during performances changed at all from your experiences in China?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I feel, somehow I feel like a different person after returning. Because at the time, I had so much time to think about what I wanted to be as an artist. Mm-hmm. And I think my ambitions really climbed.
Yeah.
I became more focused on like the whole experience. I started working with lights a lot. Mm-hmm. In my live shows now, I use black light and I use body paint and I use a lot of LED stuff that I bring. So now my show is as visual as it is musical.
Which is really important, I think, nowadays, like to bring that extra element to the people that are coming to watch you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a lot of fun. Like, it gives me the opportunity to explore a whole new part of my creativity, working with like different lamps and working with color and all these things that kind of fits into the music.
Yeah, I'm really excited because you're coming to the Waiting Room in London on the 27th, but you're also going to be playing Bristol and Manchester in the UK. Are you looking forward, because that's at the end of this month, are you looking forward to coming and seeing us in the UK?
Oh, yes, very, very, very much. I have a huge respect for the English music scene. I mean, who doesn't? You guys have produced so many beautiful bands and so much good music. So it's always like, I'm always a little bit frightened when I go there because I'm like, oh, they have so much cool music already. I hope they like me. But no, I'm looking so much forward to it, especially London. That's going to be amazing.
We do like you and we're very excited to have you. So, and I can't, hopefully I'm going to come down to the gig and I really can't wait to see all of your kind of new stage techniques because that sounds amazing.
I'm really excited about it myself. So I hope that you'll come down. It's quite a special thing, especially the thing we did with the body paint. I really feel like I kind of stumbled over a treasure there. Ooh. In the technique we're using.
I'm excited. I'm very excited. Are you going to be playing, this is going to be kind of one of the first times you're going to be playing the new album in the UK, right?
Yeah, it is.
Well,
it's the first like tour that I have like with, first like a headliner tour and also the first tour of the album. And I can already say so far from the shows, it's like a wave of love. I'm surfing a wave of love.
Oh, that's amazing.
I mean, it's been so amazing. I love my fans so much. They're the coolest people ever. I get to talk to them after the shows, and it's just these amazing, nice people. And when I play the shows, I can just see their smiling faces at me. And yeah, so far, I think it's going to be the best tour I've ever had.
Oh, amazing. And it makes it all worth it, doesn't it, when you kind of get that reaction?
Exactly, yeah. You kind of like, touring can be hard because you don't sleep a lot and you're a lot of time in airports and hotels and stuff. But like having every night be like a celebration of music and love and stories, yeah, that just makes it worth it.
Well, I'm really excited to come down, and we're going to play Money Towers now. And I really like the lyric in this where you say like you're so lost in this city, because it kind of encapsulates exactly how I guess you felt when you moved to this city on a whim, like to change your life, and you were kind of lost in this. It's like a whole nother culture as well. So I really enjoyed listening to this song and feeling a bit like I felt like I knew how you felt when you were there.
Oh, that's amazing. That's exactly what I want.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Lidmore, for joining us. And we're going to play Money Towers now.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
See you soon. Bye.
See you soon. Bye.
So lost in the city. I hear a car crash for every step we take. I can't find you. I couldn't reach you. So lost in the city. See the money towers, hear the rattlesnakes, we'll tear them down. We're gonna tear them down, you and I. Bullet shoots from your midnight frown. I guess the circus back in town. I know you'll crash it all down. And I don't think you'll remember me. Tomorrow. Like a blur.
sign, it drags you in. It burns your skin. So lost in the crowds, and I barely know these people, and I can't control this demon, and I'm sorta hyperventilating, but it really doesn't mean we have to stop tonight. The whole explosion's out of sight. We gotta make it out alive. And I don't think you're
Sodie's in the studio. Hi, babe.
Hiya.
You're wearing such a lovely jumper.
Thank you so much.
One of the best things about the cold is jumpers. Am I right?
Yeah. But the thing is, I see when I'm on the tube and stuff, everyone's wearing black, and I'm the only one in like these bright, bright coloured jumpers.
Yeah, well, I'm one of the two. I'm either completely funeral blacks or I'm in everything.
Yeah. I quite like a block outfit. So. Yeah. I would quite like to have turquoise trousers, which I don't have on right now, but I'm sure
I'd be
I
so
should
into
purchase
that.
Some.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Get out there. Although you have got corduroy trousers
on,
which I enjoy heavily.
Thank you.
I have actually got some turquoise corduroy trousers.
Do you? I think we should swap.
They're a little bit bluer than that, though. So, I don't know. Listen, if you want them, they're yours.
Thanks,
if you want them, they're yours. I'm going to give them to you. They're really comfortable. Fashion tips to kick off the show here.
Perfect.
I'm really enjoying it. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
Let's have a little chat about Maybe It Was Me.
Okay.
I found it such an interesting song because it's like two-sided. Because on your perspective, it's kind of you realise this afterwards, way afterwards.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, it was kind of like that is how I used to feel about it, like straight after, be like, oh, well, it was obviously me. Yeah. I obviously did something. Because I think it's kind of the natural.
Yeah. Well, I think basically what I wrote the song about was that it was my first boyfriend when I was 14 and we were really good friends. And then I was just kind of like, no, I don't want this. And I broke up with him in a really savage way.
Oh my God, what did you do?
I just like, you need to delete all pictures of me on your Instagram because, you know, I don't want anyone to know we've been together. Like, it was really savage. And then we stayed friends.
That is dark.
Yeah, we stayed friends.
Like
but I kept pictures of him on my Instagram, but I posted loads and he didn't. So it was just like, you go on his Instagram, it looks like we're still a couple. So that was just my issue. Anyway, about a year on.
I see.
Yeah, about a year on, I was in a writing session. I was just like, something's really bothering me. I was like, I feel really guilty about that scenario.
You were 14 or whatever, to be fair, and that
actually,
is...
Probably like 2 years on, or maybe even, 2.5 years on. This is when I wrote this, Maybe It Was Me. And I was like, I just need to get it off my chest because I don't love him. Like, I'm not... I don't want him back. But it just... I wanted to apologise in some way because we still are friends.
Yeah.
Not as close as we were.
Yeah, because he's not allowed to post any pictures of you.
I felt like I owed him that apology.
Is it weird? Because when I was at school, there was like Instagram hadn't. It was MySpace and like Facebook and stuff. But Instagram is quite dangerous when you're at school, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm only 18. Yeah. Just turned 18. So at 14, that was everything.
Was that quite weird though, being at school with people Instagramming and stuff?
I don't think so because I've always had it. Like even in year seven, when you first start senior school, we had Instagram.
That's
I had
weird.
Instagram from the age of seven or eight. But I was really early.
That's
like I started. No one was on it. But then when we were like 11, 12, everyone was on Instagram.
sugar. That is weird.
I know.
But no, but it's just an it's a whole different mindscape when you're putting pictures up and people are judging you and things like that. In terms of the music industry, though, it's a very useful tool, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's really nice to engage with fans and stuff, and it's so direct and personal. Like I can go into my, you know, you can go into your DMs and I can filter through to see which ones I should and shouldn't reply to.
Yes,
because I can get some weirdos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, occasional dick pic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Stuff like that. Just, and I find it really weird because I'm like...
Because you are young and that is weird 80, to send well, an 18-year-old a dick pic.
But then I don't know why they send it. It's like, imagine if I actually applied and went, wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Just like,
wow,
hey,
that's amazing.
Oh my
can
God.
We meet up?
So funny. I love your pic. Send me some more. Yeah. Also, what's your number?
Yeah.
It's like when you get catcalled in the street and it's like, oh, my God.
Yes.
How funny that you should whistle me.
Me and my manager, she's beautiful and she always gets wolf whistled. And we were joking because this van like went past. And beeped at us and was like properly following us.
Ugh,
and she was like,
classic.
I feel like I just really want to go up to me, like, go on then. Yeah.
Yeah, go on then. Go on then.
Let's date. You know, take me out. Go on. Like, what would they do?
But like, honestly, right? Say in the scenario, the funniest thing for me, right, in my mind is like, what in your mind has led you to believe that a woman is going to be like, do you know what? Actually, this is a number one yes for me. When I look for a man, I look for a man driving a van beeping at other women like he could be beeping at me, he could be beeping at
anyone.
Several of my friends. But do you know what? I'm into
He's
it.
Me.
It's that's what I'm
I
into.
Know.
That's just me. That's I just know. Who I am. In the same way sending a dick pic to an 18-year-old.
No thanks. But Instagram, you know, I don't really enjoy those, but what I do enjoy is having, you know, fans messaging me and being able to have that personal kind of response, because I think it's really important, especially in the early stages.
Well, also, like, if you think about 10 years ago, the size of an artist now can be determined from their Instagram or their Facebook and stuff. And it's such a better way for people to become essentially more successful.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because I got a blue tick last week.
Oh, yes, queen.
But I had people, you know, even DMing me, like, saying, oh, my God, can we meet up? People who haven't spoken to me in years. And I'm like...
that's weird.
Really? Just because I have that one tiny little blue tick on
but
the side of my name.
But it means so much more to people than they realise.
Yeah, it's weird. But you know what? Like I used to post a lot of pictures of me posing, thinking that's what people
Hashtag
want.
Hashtag selfie.
And it's just like, that's actually not what people want. Like,
what do they want?
They want to see your personality. And I think that over the last year, I've really tried to show that on my Instagram stories and show that, you know, I'll post... Recently, I did this thing where I like pretended I looked really pretty, like waking up, and then was like, of course, I don't actually look like this, and just put it like under my chin and showed my chins. Because it's like, that is what we look like, what I look like when I wake up.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think it's just, you need to realise that everything you see on Instagram isn't reality.
It's bollocks.
Yeah.
Do you know what's funny? Is I was on my way here today, I have face recognition on my phone.
Yeah.
And I genuinely thought as I came out of the tube, I was like, wouldn't it be awesome if your iPhone said if you, like, look a bit shit?
Yeah.
Because I was like, I think I look a bit shit today. And I was like, oh, God, I look a bit tired. And then I was like, imagine if, like, your face recognition was just like, just so you know, it's borderline.
Well, sometimes... It
borderline might not be you today.
If I have my hair up, doesn't recognise me.
Really?
And I'm like, okay, I get it.
I like to test it.
On the top.
I like to test it wearing glasses, putting my jumper up to see if, like, what level of it. Sometimes it just doesn't recognise me in general, and I'm like, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
But I set it up. When I set it up, I looked hideous. So, if anything, it's quite a good sign when it doesn't recognise me, because it means probably looking better than I did.
Yeah, exactly.
The day I set it up. Tell me a little bit about these, because you spent the last year writing songs.
Yeah.
You're still very young, but you got into music very young. And you're saying that this new music that you're creating now is much more raw than your previous tracks. Having watched your other singles that you've released, I would totally agree with that.
Yeah.
You're going into more sort of stories and like things
well,
like that.
The thing is, I've always written from personal experiences. Mm-hmm. But I mean... You don't have too much to say when you're 15.
Like, no, and I hope not.
Yeah,
anyway.
No. And to be honest, like, I didn't really want to write about love. And
mine would be about Bacardi Breezes, probably.
Well, I didn't really want to like write about things that I wasn't experiencing. And Wasted Youth, which was my second single with Martin Nick Brown, who's the biggest babe in the whole world. That was just a thing that we kind of made up, and which is, I still really love that song. But I think this new music is just everything comes from me mm-hmm. and what I've been through. And a lot of it is to do with my experiences during school. Pretty much all of it. Well, actually, yeah, all of it.
Did you enjoy school?
No.
Did you not?
I was really badly bullied at school.
I'm sorry. That's not cool. And it happens to a lot of people. Yeah. So
I think it's just hard because I went to a really academic school and I was very creative. And people just didn't understand. But, you know, I'm over it now. It took a long, long time for me to kind of come to terms with the fact that I was never going to fit in. But, you know, I've got a lot of people around me that care about me, and I've got a really amazing family and friends who help me through it. And now I don't see those people anymore, and I block them all. And
yeah, fuck those guys. Get them out of your life.
Yeah.
Was it an all-girls school as well?
It wasn't, actually. It was boys and girls. And also some boys were
nasty pasties
as well.
I think I believe it's actually anti-bullying week, or at least it was very recently, and I think it's very important for people like you, artists like you, to talk about it, because I was very lucky. I had a good time at school, but I saw other people go through things that were because I'm gay, and I at the time I wasn't, and so I didn't need to talk about it, so I didn't need to be bullied about it. But it's something that I saw other people being bullied for, and it's something that I think people need to talk about. And
I think what happens is that there are few people that dislike you, and then they have a group of people that it's much, much easier for them to just hate me or hate whoever than to step out and go, actually, what you're doing is wrong. Yeah. And that's kind of where it stems from.
It's so strange because that's so... But the good side of it is that you've come out of it and you've been able to, number one, make music out of it and make money off of them. So, lol on you.
Yeah, well, speaking of, like, you know, it's what... was World Kindness Day the other day, and it's Anti-Bullying Week. Actually, when I was on tour with Tom Walker, which I'm sure we'll speak about a month ago, I did a talk at an all-girls school ahead of it being Anti-Bullying Week. And I just spoke to them. I said, you know what? Being kind is actually cool.
Yeah, it's so
like,
cool.
Like, it's actually cool. Like,
because you walk away feeling better about your life
But I didn't fit in at school because I would always stand up for the underdog, even though I was... Yeah, I was very badly bullied. But if I saw something that was wrong, I would always step in.
But that's why, because people don't like people having an opinion.
Yeah.
Not always, but sometimes.
But, you know, like when I was in year seven, I was kind of in the popular group. But after year seven, I basically said, I'm not being in this anymore because everyone hates us. Like, because we're going to pretend that we can't sit with these people. But I would always look at the people and be like, I'm sorry, like, you know, I do kind of want to sit with you, but I can't. And so then after I was 12, then I started being bullied really badly because I wasn't in that group.
Because you decided to get out of it. Good for you, though.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't regret that. I could have easily just stayed in and probably just been a really nasty person, but...
Yeah, but you'd have no songs to write.
No, exactly.
They'd all be really boring.
Yeah, but I've got a song which is going to come out probably in the next few months, which is called The Bully. And that's basically just... It's more of an empowering song. I didn't want to write songs that were like, pity me, feel sorry for me, I want all this attention on me. I wanted it more to be that... to empower young girls and say that you can get through it. And the tag of that song is, I'm glad it happened to me and not you.
Yeah.
And that is just saying that because you wouldn't have been able to deal with what I did.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how I feel about it, is that it's a bit spiritual, but I kind of feel like I was chosen to be bullied because it was so severe. You know, I'd even get death threats from people outside of school. Like, it was really hideous.
That is rank. And I also think it's to do with social media, because we didn't have that.
Yeah.
Like, we had like MSN and stuff, and that was, but it just wasn't the same thing. And I think that cut a lot of the, like, face-to-face bullying, I think, was the only way, really, to get it.
It was hardly ever... to my face. It was always just
messages and
messaging, or people would set up WhatsApp groups just to hate on me. And one person who I'm still friends with now, he was in this group, he wasn't speaking on it, but he just screenshotted it all and sent it to me and was like, Sodie, I can't like let this happen anymore. And I basically just printed out all of these screenshots and basically posted it into the headmaster's office and said,
yeah, well, it's illegal. You can't. It's. I think I'm not. Don't want to be saying things that aren't true, but I'm pretty sure it's borderline. You know, because well, it's now yeah. it's a. I think they've just brought it in.
If you send death threats, like that's severe, and the person that did send me death threats was in serious trouble for that because it's not okay.
And is there any advice that you'd give to people listening, young people, you know, not necessarily in the music industry, just fans or people listening, that you would suggest how to, I don't want to use the word combat, but how to deal with being bullied?
I think you just need to talk to people. Like, it's really important. Whether it's your parents, guardian, going to the teachers, like, a lot of it is that people think that they shouldn't go to the teachers because they're going to be called a snitch, but you can do it anonymously. It doesn't have to be that, oh, you went and told us off. Anyone could have gone in and said it. And it's just don't keep it bottled up. And that's my whole life I've never done is keep it in. I've always, as soon as I come home, I would cry. I'd be upset. Of course I would, but at least I would tell someone. And I think, but stay true to who you are. Don't dampen yourself or, you know, change who you are to just be like everyone else. If you have an outlet, like I that's what I had. I had music, which was my outlet, and I would write songs, even if it's sport, if it's art, if it's anything.
Dog walking, it can literally be anything. Yeah.
Just go outside, take a walk, breathe it in, because school isn't the end.
It's just a bubble. It's a bubble.
And that's
what
I thought. I was getting so upset. I was like, I've got no friends, and I was always upset. But then I realized that now I'm out of school, I don't have to see these people. I can choose who I hang around with. I don't have to follow them on Instagram. And I think that once you get past that, then things will get better for you.
That's great, and I think it's wonderful advice and really awesome for you. And I totally agree. I remember literally thinking, and my mum saying to me, I've fallen out with them. And my mum being like, you will not care about this when you leave. You will not care about them, and you will not care about this, and it is true.
And you don't have to be around them. People will go off and do their own thing, whether it's just getting a job straight out of school
Everybody
or going
does
to
a
uni.
Different path, yeah.
Even those people, those popular girls or boys at school that think that they're the be-all and end-all, they probably won't be friends because they're going to go their separate ways.
Yeah.
And as long as you stay true to yourself, you're winning. Because then you're going to go into the world being yourself, whereas these people are going to not know who they are.
Yeah, because
all
they've been
trying
to be someone else.
Is spent all their energy being horrible to people.
Well, I think that's really wonderful, and I'm very looking forward to hearing the new song. Let's just touch quickly on your tour with Tom Walker.
Yeah.
Tell me everything. How was
it
that?
It was amazing.
You literally just finished, like, the other day. Was it?
Nearly three, like 2.5 weeks ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Goss it?
Wow.
Yes. it feels like it wasn't, because I was looking at I was stalking you on Instagram,
oh, wow.
Talking of Instagram, and it all looked like it was amazing. And he was, like, tweeting about it, you guys.
He's so lovely. Like, he's actually legend.
Yeah,
like, nicest guy. We would hang out before the show, after the show, and he's amazing. Like, his new stuff coming out is so good. And also Maisie Peters was supporting with me, and she's so good too, very funny, very witty, and yeah, it was just such an amazing time. No dramas. Everything was perfect.
And everyone listening, remember that if you're being bullied or you're having a horrible time, maybe you can be like Sodi and you can just leave it all behind and go on tour with Tom Walker.
Yeah, exactly.
And say fuck off to everybody else.
Yeah.
Really fantastic, and it looks like things are going really well for you.
Thank you.
Really exciting the next few months are going to be, I guess. Like, you're going to be releasing some more...
Yes, I've got my next single coming out in a few weeks.
Great.
I won't say what it's called.
Oh, okay.
Or should I?
Well, it depends on how much you're going to get told off by your manager, I guess.
Well, it's basically just... It's called Let You Know.
Yeah, we got it. Okay, Let You Know, exclusive. Sodi's next
and
release.
And it's just kind of like, I gave you my all kind of thing, but it wasn't enough.
But then I made you delete photos on Instagram. That is one of my favourite stories ever. Because it's the kind of thing I would say. Be like, excuse me, sorry, you can delete me from your life. I'm going to delete this picture of you from 6 years ago that no one will see.
I know.
It's amazing. It's wonderful.
But yeah, I've got that. And then some music videos. Going to be filming them. And just, yeah, writing some stuff, but I'm just very excited to get lots of music out because I've got a lot.
And you work with Frances quite a bit, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, she's amazing. She's actually producing my whole EP.
Amazing.
Well, I say EP, but more just like body of work. All of the songs coming out, and all the singles are written with females, which is pretty cool.
Yes, that is cool.
Pretty cool.
Like, we love females on this
but
show.
Pretty cool.
Not just because I'm gay, but I just generally support females.
But Maybe It Was Me was with Lauren Aquilina. We wrote that together.
Amazing.
And I've written a lot with Frances, and she's amazing. She's so good.
Do you find that because you're a bit younger, I hope your team around you are kind of letting you know that you can take it slowly because you are so young.
Well, the thing is, I've been doing it for about 4 years.
And that's the thing. So do you feel like quite adult in the music world because you've had that length of time?
I've always felt more mature mm-hmm. for my age because I have 5 older siblings.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah. Okay, so literally.
Yeah. So I had to kind of grow up like faster than everyone else.
Yeah.
But I don't feel pressured to do stuff. Now I just want the songs out. Like I've been writing for a long time.
Yeah.
I used to juggle it with school, so it wasn't very intense. And it's not really intense now because I've had a long time to write. But now, like, I love live. I love singing and I love performing. And
now you've done it so much with Tom and Maisie.
I just want more touring. Like, hopefully do a headline show next year. Or definitely, like, come on.
Yeah, babes, do it. Get it. We want to hear your stories.
Yeah, do that. And just tell, I think for me, all it is to inspire people and to inspire young people and just let people know that you can be whoever you want to be. And
you should also inspire older people because you're so young.
Well, to be honest, my music, I think it kind of is for a wide audience.
It does.
It's not just pinpointing bullying. Because some of the songs can be interpreted in other ways.
Yeah.
And that's why like I do have a wide range of fans. Even like my dad and my mum, they love it. Like it's not that even the production on it is not too modern that they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Their friends and stuff, I see them so funny. My parents' friends, they comment on like my Sony Facebook. It's so funny.
Oh my God, my mum does it all the time. Or like great. Not on your that yeah, would be yeah. weird but
mine.
I will tell her
oh
to
my God,
no
that's her.
Yeah that's her she's so crazy no my mum comments weird stuff like people don't know that she's my mum and I'm like mum it's really obvious you're my mum and she's like wow isn't this presenter really talented wow you should give her a job I'm like mum back off you've got the same surname as me let's play Maybe It Was Me it's a great track can you introduce it for us and also thank you so much for coming in and telling all your stories. It's a really important message. And I think lots of people are going to be helped.
Oh, well, I hope so.
Also helped with the Maybe It Was Me, because I feel like sometimes taking a bit of responsibility.
Yes, exactly.
Is a good
thing. That's why I really wanted to do that, was to take responsibility for your own actions.
And does he know? Has he seen
it? He knows. I had to ring him and say, look, this is going to come out. His girlfriend hates me.
Oh,
so
shit.
I was like, look, I don't love you. I care about you as a friend. She's going to think I still love you. I actually, no joke, like a few days ago, actually texted her and said, I just want to let you know that like, I actually don't want to be with him. And
oh God, that's amazing though. Good for you.
But in a really nice way, being like, there's no beef between us. Like, please, please, I don't want any beef with you.
Yeah. But good for you. No beef here.
No beef.
All positive vibes. Because
Do
you know
vibes.
What? Everyone goes through, even the bullies have things that are going on
exactly.
in their lives. I think
exactly.
that's an important thing to remember. After all the jokes and the silliness, everybody has, you know,
exactly.
issues and everybody
their
should go and
problems,
speak to people
exactly,
and get some help.
100%.
Maybe It Was Me. Brilliant song. Sody, thank you so much for joining us. Can you just introduce it to everyone for us?
Yeah, so this is Maybe It Was Me. Thank you. I've been Sody.
Do you remember when we were so good? Or do you forget like I do? Forget like I do. But you are my first and you've taken a piece of me. I painted you in the blame and it's not okay. I was selfish, couldn't help it. But I still care about you, still care about you now. I know I'm stubborn, but I still think about you.
Cause maybe it was me, I just couldn't see. But maybe it was me who fucked it up. Or maybe it was us, so helpless and young. Or maybe everything was all my fault. And I regret all the times I'm leaving you in the back of my mind. Cause maybe it was me, and I just couldn't see. But maybe it was me. Magnified all of your flaws in my head. We know that I've got mine too, I've got mine too. Wonder if you have forgiven me yet. Cause I am still trying to, I am still trying to. I was selfish, couldn't help it. But I still care about you, still care about you now. I know I'm stubborn, but I still think about you. Cause maybe it was me, I just couldn't see. But maybe it was me who fucks it up. Or maybe it was us, so helpless and young. Or maybe everything was all my fault. And I regret all the times, oh, leaving you in the back of my mind. Cause maybe it was me, and I just couldn't see. But maybe it was me. See, but maybe it was me who fucked it up. Or maybe it was us, so helpless and young. Or maybe everything was all my fault. And I regret all the times I'm leaving you in the back of my mind. Cause maybe it was me, and I just couldn't see. But maybe it was me.
Hi, I'm Mabel, and you're listening to Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Would you believe me now if I told you I got caught up in a wave? Almost gave it away. Would you hear me out if I told you I was terrified for days? Thought I was gonna break. Oh, I couldn't stop it, tried to slow it all down. Crying in the bathroom, had to figure it out with everyone around me saying, you must be so happy now. Oh, you keep reaching out. You
Maggie Rogers, Light On. Joining me in the studio now is Calderbank.
Hey, hey, what's going on?
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, yeah.
Good, really good.
Yeah.
Been an exciting year for you. You were just mentioning then it's kind of been a bit of a musical awakening in many ways.
I think it has, yeah, yeah. I've had not the easiest year in my life, but I'm really getting down to what I think I like the most about music, which is like writing songs. Yeah, and that's, I don't know, I think when you suffer or go through some stuff, you learn a lot about yourself. And
definitely.
I think, if I'm, yeah, as a creative, that comes out in interesting ways.
Because you're a producer, you're a writer, you're a DJ, you're an artist.
That is right, that's all correct. Yeah.
Encapsulating everything. But you kicked off what you toured with Labyrinth, where you worked in his band, worked in the studio with him. You also worked with Tiny Temper, is that
that's
right?
That's right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was like which is like an intense start.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I did a uni course in music at Westminster, and that was my move to London from Bristol. And then I really luckily, out of that course, I got a job engineering for a guy called James Reynolds, who's like a top pop producer and engineer in London. Big up James. And it just so happened that as I started assisting him, he was just mixing Tiny's first album, so the Discovery album, which was
good album,
amazing album, and just an amazing time to be in that studio, because it was literally, he was coming down, his manager, different producers and artists, like met Labyrinth through that experience as well, and I was just like, yeah, making tea for him. Milk and two sugars.
Oh, yeah, it's a very important job.
Very important. But also, like, just absorbing so much about how a record's put together and the mix process and stuff. So I kind of lucked out with that, really. And that was my foot in the door.
And then you released Lovin' You as Calderbank. That was your debut release.
Yeah.
Not being a remix. And you've remixed a lot. Portugal the Man, Rudimental, also Charlie XCX, which is one that I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, yeah, wicked. Yeah,
The Boys track that she released, which is huge.
Yeah.
How did that come about with the remixes? Because I know it's a weird thing, because a lot of the time it's through management and you don't get to actually meet the artist or spend any time with them. But
yeah, I mean, to be honest, yeah, with those... they were all through the label, really.
Yeah.
Like, Lovin' You was signed with Atlantic.
Got 9 million, over 9 million streams as well, which is insane.
Did really well. Yeah, yeah, really well.
And it was on Love Island.
Yes, it was.
Big time.
And lots of like Hollyoaks and loads of TV.
That's crazy though for streaming, because people are just like, oh, wow, I'm hearing this somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like Made in Chelsea and stuff like that. It gets massive numbers for the artist, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's really cool. But yeah, with the remixes, I didn't really meet any of the artists. Portugal the Man, I had a good dialogue with them, like on social media and stuff.
Nice.
I knew they'd heard it and were into it. And then I met Charlie XCX. Well, she supported Labyrinth years ago.
Oh yeah.
At a gig in Ireland, and I remember we went to a pub afterwards and were drinking Guinness.
But this was pre Boys remix.
This was pre Charlie XCX being.
Charlie XCX.
She was her, but she weren't big like that.
So oh, sick.
She was like on the come up.
Nice.
So yeah.
And then
another claim to fame. I had a Guinness with Charlie XCX.
Oh, there we go.
Pre-fame.
And then we get the full circle of you creating a banger remix of one of her tunes, which
there
is quite sick. Calderbank, the name. I really enjoyed reading in an article that it's like your Skyfall.
This is correct, yes.
Because it's... Tell everyone... I won't ruin it for you. Tell everyone why Calderbank is your Skyfall.
Right, okay. So basically, my dad grew up in a house in Yorkshire called Calderbank, and I think it's spelled differently than I've spelled it, but he always talked about it, like, from his childhood. And I think when we went to his hometown of Todmorden in Yorkshire,
is a good one as well.
It is a good name.
That could be the album name.
Todmorden, or it could be an alias.
Todmorden.
Todmorden, yeah. He's a Yorkshire lad, my dad. Basically, yeah, it was my dad's house that he grew up in.
And you just felt like an affiliation to it. So it's like your Skyfall, because that's where James Bond lived.
Yeah, it kind of sounded cool. I got a shout out to Joe Barb, who was my A&R at Atlantic for a bit, because he made the Skyfall connection.
I've
stuck with that. He was like, oh, so it's kind of like your Skyfall. And I was like, yes.
Yes,
I'm gonna
sound like James Bond.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that gets me closer to being James Bond is great.
I like it. I like it. I also read that you're a big fan of Reggie Snow, who we've had on the show, Turtle Babe.
Yeah, that's true. Again, another weird one. I once did a Vivo YouTube gig with him. Like a one-off performance filmed in Hackney.
What, performing with him?
Yeah, yeah, I was like on keys in the back. It was just like a one-off thing.
Vivo Discover probably or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, it was that. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's probably on YouTube somewhere. You can see me in the background fumbling out a bass line on keyboards.
Like, nice. Because he's a mate. I'm a big fan of Reggie. And I think
so good.
It'd be quite cool to maybe do a collab with him. Maybe you should.
I'd love to.
Of already have, but.
Well, yeah, but not like that. No, that would be amazing. I just think he's really cool. And I just think, like, he just. He doesn't take anything too seriously and he's just himself. No. He's a proper artist.
He's so chill.
Yeah, yeah.
He's kind of like the UK's Tyler, the Creator, in the way that he approaches his music.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he cares if you like it or not. It's like, no. I'm making the music that I'm making. He's very, having met him a couple of times, he's very confident in himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And his music.
But
not
chill.
In an arrogant way.
So chill.
Not
yeah,
in an
yeah,
arrogant
yeah.
way, in any way. Just like, I'm really happy to be here and doing my thing. But also, if you don't like it, that's cool. See you later. Mm. You know?
Yeah. And I think so, being like, someone like that, I could. That's kind of the holy grail of artistry is like, you make it for yourself and you're not too worried about what other people think.
And it's bloody hard to achieve that.
And I'm still on that journey to getting there. I think I'm one step closer after this year. But that's.
Is that how you feel about Los Angeles?
It's definitely,
it's on the way.
It's definitely on the way, yeah. I love Loving You. I love all the remixes. They're all great music and I'm proud of everything I've done. But I think as I chip away more at myself and what really gets me off, like definitely the songwriting and the melodies and lyrics, like it's going to be more and more song-based. Still borrowing some stuff from like dance music and production and stuff, but more just, I don't know. Again, this was like an old, like Labyrinth thing, he's always been about like honesty, like that's just it, like where's the honesty, like what are you really saying, what do you know what I mean? And it's all, they're all cliches, but it's all very true as well, because like if you're winning at something that is not true to yourself, that can be really fucking difficult. Do you know what I mean?
So, what do they say? It's better to be hated for who you are than loved for who you are not.
Absolutely.
God, I'm so fucking clever
today.
So
wise, aren't you?
God,
Jesus.
I feel like one of the wise men pre-Christmas.
The philosophy show, basically.
I know. Basically, this is turning into that because we've done quite a lot of like philosophy chat today.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
Life as a DJ can be a lot. Los Angeles kind of touches on that in terms of it being about being away from a loved one and traveling the world and stuff like that.
Yes.
What's the craziest work thing, like night you've had?
Oh God, there have been a lot.
Yeah.
What springs to mind?
Guinness with Charlie XCX.
No, that was tame. That was tame. I don't know. I've done when in the Labyrinth days, I got to do some really bougie shit, which was like great. So we played on a yacht in
Sick.
Monte Carlo. Watched the Grand Prix from a luxury yacht. Like literally the F1 cars going past. That was like, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
But at the crazy nights, we did a gig in Saint-Tropez once and it was like a private party.
Which for anyone who doesn't know is basically the rich capital of France.
The south of France, yeah. It's like
insane.
It's like the Mayfair of the south of France or something.
Yeah.
Everything
costs £100, even if it's a bottle of water.
Literally. And this party was like, just obviously no expense spared. It was like a private event. And there was like, pretty much all there was to drink was vintage Dom Perignon.
Which is a shame, you know?
Yeah,
it's
I know,
a hard
right?
One.
Like I'm thirsty, you know? Yeah. like literally so bougie. And there was like these glass, the bars were like made of glass and had like dancers in them. Like
oh
girls,
my God, were
like
they
scantily
okay?
clad. I think they
could
were
they breathe?
Okay. They could breathe, yeah. I think the back was open.
There.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, good, good.
But yeah, and I was just like, what world is this? Madness.
Yeah.
Madness.
I like those moments though where you're like, I'm not entirely comfortable, but I will take advantage of this situation.
Exactly. Yeah. I look back on those days, it's like, wow, I got to do some crazy, like, it's like you say, life as a DJ and travelling, and at the time I can get really cranky when I'm tired and like I can get, you know.
It's important for your mental health to take care of yourself in those times, isn't it?
And it's hard when it's just like, yeah, flight here. Like you just have to do it. We could go down that route of how it's just difficult in the music industry.
What advice would you give though to people who are maybe doing it too much and maybe overexerting themselves? And
I honestly, it's such a tough one because I know the industry well enough to know that if you're hot, like, you go with it. Mm-hmm. And, like, everybody knows that. And it's not healthy. And I think it's, like, things are moving in the right direction. People are talking more about their mental health. People are talking... People are cancelling legs of their tours more readily. Do you know what I mean? But you don't have to look far to see that it's still a massive issue. And I mean, obviously, my advice would be, like, listen to yourself, listen to your body, have people around you that you trust, all these things. But in reality, we can see, even at the top level, like, sometimes the correct decisions aren't made around that stuff, which is...
The more we talk about it, though, I guess, the better.
I think, yeah, I do. You have to trust that things are going the right way and things, people are talking about things way more openly. But, yeah, it's hard. And even on in my limited experience of the industry, yeah, it's really hard when you're out there on the road. And you know, the whole day, your whole 24 hours and travel and whatever, it's all geared around, what, 60 minutes of intense pressure and adrenaline. And
then you end up feeling, afterwards, you end up feeling it's that weird, crazy high that lasts for a few hours, and then it's the crushing low that it's like nothing to do with drugs or alcohol.
Yeah.
It's to do with your adrenaline and being so excited.
Yeah.
People forget that even if you're teetotal, you can still have that crash after you've had such an amazing experience.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And it does tie into, I mean, the drugs and alcohol, like, obviously they're, like, alcohol is always available backstage after the show or whatever, and it is a natural thing to do.
To reward yourself with, I guess,
once
sometimes.
You've got through it and you've got this adrenaline and you're like, how do I kind of control that? But yeah, it's a tough one, obviously, as we know.
But working on it day to day, which is the best thing,
I think. Yeah, I mean, right now, me personally, I'm not in, like, an intense touring cycle or anything.
No, because you're focusing more on the writing, which is...
Yeah, very much. And just kind of, in a wider sense, looking at, like, what makes me happy and where am I in life and all these big...
Which is really exciting.
Big questions. Yeah, yeah, it is.
Good place to be.
Yeah. But, I mean, take care out there, guys. Obviously, ride the waves, but, yeah, it's not easy because there is that, not almost fear, but in the music industry, it's like, if you're hot, you do it. If you're getting booked and you're generating money and everyone around you is on your payroll, and that's a really
weird,
unique...
It's weird, yeah.
And I've obviously seen it more from other artists than myself. But, like, you've got a big entourage and it doesn't mean everyone is, like...
Trying to fuck you over.
Yeah, they're not trying to, like, fuck shit up, but it is kind of like... But really, are they able to be objective? Or
if it's going to make them X amount of money, are they able to say, we don't want that 20% commission?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah, so...
But exciting times, and Los Angeles is a really cool project. I like it. I like the song.
Yeah, yeah.
I like, I don't know why I said project, song.
we're calling songs projects.
Yes.
It's a playlist.
It's a project.
It's a one song playlist.
It's a one
and it's available
song
now.
Album.
Oh my gosh.
He's just broken.
Yeah, I just smashed
something
up the studio.
He's so angry at my use of the word project.
Project.
Should we have a little play of it?
Yes, let's have a listen.
It's been a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Yes.
When's the next thing? When can we expect the next thing? I know literally you released this in September, so I'm being.
Yeah,
a bit...
no, not at all. I don't have, like, a date set yet. But what I can plug is Wednesday the 21st Ooh. Of November. We've got two amazing remixes of Los Angeles coming out.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, and they're really good. I hope you get to listen to them. One is by Brunel, who are my boys from Bristol.
Great.
They're a house duo.
Which
really.
I like, because isn't it the university is called Brunel?
Yeah. It's named after the Isambard Kingdom Brunel, who
amazing.
Built bridges.
Oh,
yeah, he's like an old British engineer.
Nice.
Brunel remix is like a house one, and my other friend's called Arcades. They're a duo, and that's more like a kind of trap EDM. But they've both done amazing takes on the song, and I really hope it kind of opens it up to other listeners and like DJs and stuff like that. Yeah,
exciting. Okay, so, let's hear the original and get very excited for the 21st of November.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah.
Lovely. Can you introduce this for us, babe?
Yes. Hi, everyone. This is Colderbank, and this track is called Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, or Tokyo, Madrid. Just tell me where it is, and I'll be on the next flight. I'll be on the next flight, 'cause I miss you, girl. Miss you so bad. Miss you, girl. Mess it up bad. Nobody else could even come close to it. Nobody doing it the way that we do it. I miss you, girl. Miss you, girl. Nobody doing
Los Angeles, Calderbank, thank you so much to all of our guests today. It's been such an epic show. Absolute back-to-back great, talented musicians. So we had Call Me Loop, Ray Black, Lidmore, Sody, and Calderbank just then. Next week, we've got loads more amazing guests coming in, so stay tuned for that. But before all of this, before the end of the show, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this week's champion. Now, I've got, if I could spend an entire show on this lady, I would. She's incredible. Her name is Rosalia. She's a Spanish artist that is bringing traditional flamenco. If you were looking for someone who could blend traditional flamenco with contemporary pop music, well, I found the girl for you, hun. She has released her second album, which is inspired by flamenco. And it's actually inspired by a book called Flamenco, which was a 13th century book about a woman who was locked away by her jealous fiance. Many have said it's one of the most first modern novels of its time, which is quite interesting. But flamenco is a massive part of Spanish culture, and she's sort of taking flamenco and ripping up the rule book and being like, I'm not going to do it as you think I am. There's a sample from Justin Timberlake in this album. It's a crazy melee of sort of hip-hop, R&B, pop, and flamenco. It's called El Malquerar. I think is how you... I'm basically really bad at pronouncing Spanish, but El Malquerar. It was released not very long ago. You can go on... there's loads of amazing interviews with her, like written ones that you can read online, but I'm going to give you a little blow-by-blow. It's produced by El Guincho, otherwise known as Pablo Diaz Rexa, and they work together on... Essentially, she's incredibly interested in production, and she's a really, really big fan of how songs are made and what kind of elements go into songs and what makes them sound so incredible. And each track has its own story to tell, which is so exciting and interesting. For example, track four is like kind of looped electronic looped vocals with like a castanets clicking sound, which is amazing. And it also uses motorcycles, sampled motorcycles, with like an energetic crazy rhythm. Apparently Khaled's a massive fan of it as well, but she's desperate to do a track with him too. Justin Timberlake also, as I said, features on the seventh track. It's Cry Me a River, but she's singing it and using the melody, and it also feel like there's like an Annie Lennox sample in there somewhere, you know, the doobie doobie doo 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 bit from No More I Love Yous. I'm just kind of quickly going through this because we haven't got ages on the show left to talk about it, but there's so many incredible samples. But apparently Justin Timberlake never ever agrees to having his samples used in songs, and he was really keen for this to be used, so it's really she was really excited by the fact that he would allow that. And then she's using a lot of the songs to pay tribute to artists that she's a big fan of. So track 8, for example, pays tribute to Say My Name, Destiny's Child, because she was a big fan of them. And across that specific track, it sort of pays homage to lots of artists she listened to at a young age, which was a lot of R&B, a lot of 90s stuff. And it's really exciting going through each track and hearing the different stories. She's a big fan of James Blake, and his she actually said, I feel like in 50 years people in universities will study him, which I kind of agree with. He's such a mind in music, and I think a really exciting person to get to know. But she's so interested in production and that element of it. She's used traditional Spanish actresses in the as sample. She's used lots of flamenco specific samples, and also recreated her own flamenco style within each track. It's connected to her roots, and the flamenco vibe in itself is such an interesting genre that I think the world has not heard this stuff before. So it's such a change for everybody to hear flamenco in the mainstream. Obviously, some people are saying that she's diverting too far from flamenco and it's changing the game. And also there's a big uproar in terms of cultural appropriation in terms of flamenco and where it's based from. I think if you've got the time, go and take a look at her story and where she's come from. She's from a place called Sant Esteve Sesrovires, I hope I pronounced that right, from near Barcelona. And she basically grew up hanging out on the streets with her mates, listening to flamenco music and getting down, you know, sitting in cars with your friends. And I think that's where it was born, this kind of passion for flamenco and what she could make of it. I think it's amazing to bring something like flamenco into the 21st century and make people that would never have heard this music in their life hear it and enjoy it and love it. Everybody is banging on about this girl. Finishing off today's show, this has been Foo Ra Radio and I've been Harriet Rose. This is one of my favourite tracks on the album. It's called Malamente. Her name's Rosalia and she is this weeks.
Champion. Ese gritarito roto, yo sentí como crujía. Antes de caerse al suelo, ya sabía que se rompía. Está parpadeando la luz del descansillo. Una voz de la escalera, alguien cruzando el pasillo. Malamente, sí, sí, malamente. Tra, tra. Mira, malamente, más que toma, malamente. Y yo, malamente, malamente. Se ha puesto la noche rara, me salió luna y estrella. Salí a verla, nah. Sueño que estoy andando por un puente que la acera. Mira, 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 mira. Cuanto más quiero cruzarlo, va. Más se mueve y tambalea. Malamente, así sí. Malamente, tra, tra. Mira. Malamente, más que toma, que malamente.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.